Life as a woman in the 21st century is challenging. We experience social pressures to have a great job, be the best mom, partner, daughter, and maybe for some, depending on your age, caregivers for your parents. That means we have limited time for self-care. But did you know that taking just 20 minutes of me time 3 to 5 times a week will actually make you calmer, centered, and more productive in whatever it is that you need to do? One of the best ways I find my inner calm is to do yoga, of course, but also to learn something new and exciting, to get my mindset away from that monumental to-do list. Life is so serious so much of the time. So it's important to lighten up and take a break from it all. In this podcast, we will be discussing topics that I find fascinating and that help me get into a positive, present moment headspace. Appropriately titled Yoga, the Moon, and Me, we will be discussing yoga, of course, but also spirituality, travel, the moon, her energy and her phases, and, well, life. You can find a new podcast here each week, sometimes just me, and sometimes I'll have a partner in crime. I don't take myself too seriously, and I believe that most problems can be solved by a conversation and 60 good minutes on a yoga mat. So from my sacred space to yours, welcome to the Yoga, the Moon, and Me podcast. Hi, everyone. This is another episode of the Zen Den Chronicles. So recently in the Zen Den, we explored the topic of karma. So what's your first thought when you hear the term karma? Is it positive or is it negative? Karma is a Sanskrit word that translates simply as action. The Hindu belief is that every action has a consequence. Good and bad karma are the result of good and bad actions. The Hindu philosophy contains the idea of a record of debts and balances, and this is the concept of karma. It is similar to the Christian's Book of Life or the Akashic Records. I'm going to ask you to open up your mind to the concept of past lives and reincarnation, because this conversation will span over lifetimes. So we aren't just talking about an action and consequence in this lifetime, but perhaps you or your soul did something in a past lifetime that you need to reconcile for in this lifetime. Pay your karmic debt, so to speak. There's a direct correlation between karma and the life lessons that we agree to take on in this lifetime. Let's look at a few definitions because I threw a few different topics there for you. So I just want to make sure we're all on the same playing field. So what is the Book of Life? The Book of Life is a book in which God records or will record the names of every person who is destined for heaven and the world to come. In the Hebrew Bible, the Book of Life records those people considered righteous before God. To be blotted out of this book signifies death. To be in this book ensures one of life on the day of judgment. Even before birth, those who will be born are written in this book. A related concept appears in Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 4, when an angel marks the righteous on their foreheads for life, while the remaining inhabitants of Jerusalem are doomed. A little heavy. So let's talk about the Akashic Records, which I think is really another term for the Book of Life. So the Akashic Records is another name for universal consciousness. It is a non-physical library of the history of the universe that is imprinted on the ether. It includes every thought, action, emotion, feeling of every person in every lifetime, past, present, and future. So basically, it is a collection of energy vibrations. It holds the purpose of life and the path of each individual. Hinduism identifies karma as the relationship between a person's mental or physical action and the consequences following that action. It also signifies the consequences of all the actions of a person in their current and previous lives, and the chain of cause and effect in morality. According to Hindu thought, we produce karma in four ways: through our thoughts, through our words, through our actions, and through the actions others perform under our instructions. So that's interesting, isn't it? It isn't just our actions, but also our thoughts. At the time of death, a person goes through a life review, and their karmic debt is determined. The conditions of their next incarnation are decided on the basis of their karmic debt or reward, similar to the biblical saying, "As you sow, so shall you reap." Let's look at the term reincarnation. This is the rebirth of a soul in a new body. Reincarnation isn't punishment to work out your karma. And the circumstances of your life are not punishment for something that you've done. They are opportunities for you to learn your life lessons and grow and evolve. We can live hundreds of lives. Do you ever meet people that seem so mature and wise, no matter how old they are or what their life experiences are? They have very likely lived many past lives already. When we have learned all of the lessons that we need to learn, we no longer need to reincarnate. We become an ascended master. Perhaps we become spirit guides for others to help guide them in their life experience. Okay, so let's look at those terms. Ascended masters. They are spiritually enlightened beings who in past incarnations were ordinary humans, but who have undergone a series of spiritual transformations, originally called initiations. Spirit guide. There are many different types of spirit guides, and we're not going to talk about all of them in this podcast, but for this conversation, a spirit guide is an entity that remains as a discarnate spirit or without a body to act as a guide or protector to a living incarnated individual. They are souls who have lived many former lifetimes, paid their karmic debts, and advanced beyond a need to reincarnate. Each karmic imprint sets in motion a vibration that is expressed in our life. The vibration may create a life event or health condition, a talent, a skill, a relationship, or any number of life situations. All the vibrations of your past life play together in an orchestra that creates the symphony that is your life. Karma is not something that you have with another person. So for an example, if someone hurt you in a past life, it's not up to you to hurt them in this life. Or if that person that hurt you somehow gets hurt in this life, it doesn't make you feel better. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is a man-made construct. When we understand that we are all connected and that we feel each other's pain, we see this as pointless. Karma exists between you and the Akashic records, or basically you and yourself. If you cause harm in a past life, you get another opportunity to right the wrong in this life. Karma is a system of awakening. When you hurt another, you're hurting yourself. We are all one. So keep this in mind, because what comes around truly goes around. Karma goes beyond punishment and reward. It goes beyond learning and growing. It becomes the vehicle for self-realization. When you fully understand who you are and how you impact the world, you will achieve an even balance with your karmic dance card. You become an awakened human. So let's talk about transmuting our karma. Because the ultimate goal of karma is to teach, once you have learned the lesson from a situation, you can move on. You don't have to keep learning and relearning the same lesson. If you're repeating the same pattern again and again, then you clearly haven't really learned what you're meant to learn, or you haven't demonstrated what you've learned by way of changing your thoughts and actions. So transmutation is the conversion of bad karma into good karma, In other words, once you've learned what you need to learn, you know you're no longer tied to the condition that you created. So I want to give you an example of this, and this is absolutely hypothetical. Let's say in a past life, I'm a very rich man, but I hoarded all of my money, not sharing it with others, shortchanging my staff the correct pay, and just generally being a Scrooge. Now in this life, I struggle with money. I never seem to have enough, and I just have the worst luck with investments, jobs, cars, you name it. Things just go wrong. I realize how lovely it feels to give and share my money, even if I have just a little bit, or some days less than a little bit. If I have a toonie for a tea, then I surely have a toonie for a homeless person. The more I make, the more I give, and the more I give, the more I make. My karma has been transmuted. There are four steps to transmuting or shifting your karma. Number one, you recognize your wrongdoing. Number two, you correct the imbalance. Number three, you created new ways of thinking and being in the world. Number four, you forgive yourself and others. In this way, you are moving out of karma and into a higher level of love. Let's talk about forgiveness now. Forgiveness is the bridge between the illusion of separation and the knowing that we are all one. We don't forgive because someone deserves it. We forgive because it's inside of us to do so. Deep down, we've learned that one person's pain is everyone's pain. You can transmute immeasurable amounts of karma simply by forgiving those in your life for the pain they inflicted while they learned their difficult lessons. Now let's look at karmic relationships or partnerships. Every single relationship that you have is not by coincidence. Each relationship, good, bad, and ugly, is bringing with it a life lesson that you agreed to learn with that person before you reincarnated. Most times, we reincarnate with what is called our soul group. So a soul group is a group of people that we reincarnate with time and time again. Our soul group might be four souls, or it might be 30 souls. But we agree to come back in each lifetime and help support each other in learning life lessons. Sometimes people will play major roles in your life: husband, wife, children, parents, asshole boss. And sometimes they will play a minor role, like the kind man that says hello every morning when you're walking your dog. Karmic partnerships are those that we contract to complete very specific and often very difficult past lessons. These relationships are not always fun, but be assured they have a role to play in your development. A karmic partnership is always a primary relationship that is based on the mutual need of two souls to balance their karma. They help each other by providing the conditions necessary for their karmic lessons. The attraction is often quite strong because it reflects a deep desire for completion. Karmic partnerships provide the circumstances you need to complete your past. No matter what the circumstances, it's important to see the other person in a loving light, as they are truly there to help you learn a lesson and move on, to learn and to grow and to evolve. Karmic relationships, so not yet soulmate, but a learning relationship, will either evolve or it will reach completion. Here are some signs that you're in a karmic partnership: a strong attraction with limited compatibility, an addictive need to be with the other person, a repeat of family patterns learned in childhood, focusing more on the relationship than on your own personal development, control, manipulation, and communication issues, sacrificing your personal dreams to be together, neglect, abuse, violence. In my research, I found a list of ways to clear karma spiritually, and I love the Google and their lists. So here's 5 steps to karmic cleansing. Number 1, be grateful for every experience, both the good and the bad. Number 2, act with love towards everyone, no matter what they've done. Number 3, check your motives and make sure they come from a place of love for self and others. Number 4, watch your attitude, because negative thoughts create angry energy directed at you. Remember, what comes around goes around. And number 5, forgive. It can be the hardest thing to do, but the most important in creating great karma. Karma has no timeline, and it's not always negative. Follow these 5 steps to stop wishing bad karma on those who have hurt you. The next time a friend, stranger, or family member says or does something mean to you or others, tell yourself to send them love and light. Remember that most individuals behave badly when they're under stress or struggling with circumstances in their own lives. It's not you, it's them. It's always about them. But it works the same way when you're the person throwing the negativity around. It's about you, not them. And you have to own that. Some amazing and positive developments will happen to you when you stop wishing bad karma onto the people who have hurt you. So here's a really great quote from Donald Driver. Don't get mad. Don't get even. Do better. Much better. Rise above. Become so engulfed in your own success that you forget it ever happened. So, karma is a philosophy of how to live our lives so we can truly become the best versions of ourselves and live the most fulfilling life we desire. And since the future isn't set in stone, we can change the path of our life by the choices, thoughts, and deeds we choose right now.